changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
My life is changing in a very, very good way, and that is that I'm able to go back out and speak and to travel. I don't like being on planes. I don't think anyone likes being on planes. I'm not afraid of flying. I'm a pilot, but it's the crowding, the herding, the getting on, the getting off, the people not using headphones on their phones while they're watching movies and or their iPads or whatever. But one of the things that let me give you an example. When I go to an event, usually what is able to pay me to bring in is they have an exhibitor hall, me and the other speakers. People paying to go to conferences is not necessarily how the conference presenters make their money or are able to put the conference on. It's often because of sponsors who come in and purchase booth space so they can talk to the attendees. And some places have huge exhibitor halls. I was at one about 3 weeks ago, and the exhibitor hall was like 6 football fields full of exhibitors. And the exhibitors, as I say, are people who are trying to sell goods and services to the attendees. Well, one of the things I've always liked to do is to walk around the exhibitor hall, either before or after my speech, just to see what stuff's there. Sometimes it's interesting. Some for me, sometimes it's only interesting for the people who are there. I remember I spoke at a fire safety conference, and it was nothing but firemen and firewomen, fire servers, first responders who deal with fire. Anyway, the stuff there was nothing but like fire hoses and fire suppression doors and stuff like that. So I didn't find that quite so interesting, but sometimes there's some really cool stuff. Now, the thing is, vendors in these booths, exhibitors, want you to come over and talk to them. They have paid to be there, usually a lot of money, sometimes thousands of dollars, just to be there to get in front of your face. And so what they do is they offer things to you to get you to come over and talk to them. Everyone, you've seen this if you've ever gone to a conference. The tables are always strewn with these little tchotchkes, merch, giveaways, whatever you want to call them. Promo pieces, ad specialty items. They're things, I was looking to see if I had anything like that with me in front of me, but they're pens, stuff that have logos for these presenters on them, and they give them away. And some of the conferences, I don't even pick up phone charging batteries, the extra external batteries anymore, because I have so many of them. That was a thing for a while. When you went to a conference, it's funny to see the shift of these little giveaways and how they've changed over the years, you know? And sometimes they'll have, it used to be like CDs with music 15 years ago when I first started. And nowadays, then it switched to things, like I said, more electronically oriented, phone batteries, et cetera, spare batteries, jump drives for your computer, et cetera. And the person who keeps Teddy when I'm traveling, which she's going to drop him off here in about an hour, Teddy just absolutely loves her family, loves going there. And so in addition to paying her, I always visit the exhibitor hall looking for little tchotchkes to pick up for her, because I've got so much stuff like that myself. I don't usually, it's rare that I go, oh, I want one of those. And they're free. You can just go grab one. And what I've noticed is that this year, coming back, as I walk to the exhibitor halls, and I've done speeches in 6 cities in the last 3 to 4 weeks, I have traveled quite a bit, is I'm seeing a rise of a certain type of giveaway at conferences. Now, these are not new by any means. These have been around for many, many, many decades. But at the conferences I was at over the last couple of days, and this is what launched me into thinking about this, I'm walking around looking for stuff to get for this woman, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking around, I'm like, nah, I'm sure, she can get one of those, that's kind of cheap, nah. And what I noticed was stress balls. You remember those? I remember when I was first a kid, that when I was a kid, you know, in my 20s, that sort of became a thing. Everybody had stress balls. And what they are these semi-rigid balls that you can squeeze in your hand when you're stressed. And when these first sort of became popular, I remember that like Psychology Magazine and all these different things would talk about how by squeezing these balls, you become more present in the moment, you become more aware, and you can release your stress. As I walked around yesterday in Traverse City, Michigan, every single vendor had some form of a stress ball. They had stress balls that were shaped like the earth, stress balls that were shaped like school mascots, stress balls that were shaped like, oh, one looked like a little sort of a Pokemon character I saw yesterday. Stress balls, stress balls, stress balls, stress balls. Now, to me, that's an indicator. That's a trend. That tells me something's going on. I realize this is not big news for you, but we are more stressed today than we have ever been before, in my opinion, because of the pandemic, because of the uncertainty of the pandemic, because of the politicization of the pandemic, the polarization of the pandemic. There's an old study, and not a study, but there's an old saying, let's call it, that, and I don't know if this is true. My brother once attempted this terribly, which I think is a terrible thing. But there's a saying that if you take a frog and you put him in a pot of water and the water is cold, the frog will be fine. And then if you slowly, very slowly turn up the water, the frog will never jump out. The frog will just stay there and ultimately slowly get boiled to death. If, however, you take a frog and you throw it into boiling water, the frog will immediately try and leap out. Again, I told you that was terrible. I think that's where we are right now. I think that we are slow. We have been boiling over the last few years, little by little by little, and with every conflicting report about masking or vaccination and people fighting it and people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and people trying sheep dewormer. Have you heard this? People using ivermectin, which is a sheep dewormer, the most common thing about people who are taking ivermectin for COVID is that they tend to soil their clothes. Well, no one, you know what I mean by soil their clothes, poop their pants, because they're taking sheep dewormer. So there is so much craziness going on right now. And in the midst of all this crazy is you and me trying to figure out our lives pre-COVID and post-COVID. What's the world going to be like afterwards? One of the things that really struck me yesterday when I was at this event, this one woman said, well, I guess that's what life's going to be like in a post-COVID world. She says, this is what life is like in a post-COVID world. It strikes me funny that we are sitting around talking about a post-COVID world. It's like talking about the aftermath of a hurricane while the hurricane is beating down your doors. We've already mentally shifted beyond this, but internally we are so stressed because of what is going on and trying to figure things out. I think it's just fascinating that stress balls have not only made a comeback at conferences, stress balls, everybody is giving away stress balls at these conferences because we are so stressed. So I want to give you a little tip today on how to deal with your stress. It's very simple. I've talked about it before. It's sort of the basics of mindfulness. I've shared with you before that meditation is not only natural, we automatically meditate. We all do it. Every one of us has been guilty of at some point going and just staring off into space when our friends will snap their fingers in front of our face and wave their hand. That is you actually raising the alpha wave in your mind and becoming more relaxed. That's staring off into space. How do we cultivate that? We cultivate it by being present. I've been practicing more and more in the mornings now what is called Zazen, which means sitting Zen, just being with what is. Now you say, oh, that's easy. I can just sit there. No problem. Can I turn the TV on? How about if I check my phone? No, you have to be there and simply be present to whatever's around you. So for example, one of the things that you want to make sure you don't do is don't describe things. But I'm going to tell you what I see. I see a printer. I see a plant. I see a clock. I see some doors. I see a ladder I need to put away. I see a sign with my name on it. I see some boxes I need to put away. Now, noticing the boxes, noticing the ladder, noticing the printer and everything. That's all Zazen, just seeing it. However, when you start giving yourself things like, I need to put it away, or why did I leave that there, or that's broken, I should just throw that away. All of those are not being mindful. Being mindful is being present to what is without judgment or commentary. Let me say that again. Being mindful is being present to what is without being judgmental or giving commentary. Commentary in your head is, for example, I've got a clock on the wall that I look at to make sure that I somewhat stay on time when we're working together, when we're talking together, rather. As I look at that clock, I can say, black clock, gold trim, gold hands, large numbers. Or I can just look at the clock without describing it, without reminding myself of when I bought it, without saying I could have gotten a better one, cheaper. I don't know, whatever. It's without the commentary. And that is a difficult thing to do. Your mind is going to comment. Your mind is going to judge. And instead, you just simply be in the room, or you be on the walk, or folding laundry is a great time to be mindful. Turn everything off and be very present with everything that you fold. Now, is your mind going to go away? Oh, yes, your mind. It's like trying to keep a 2-year-old on a task. Your mind is going to try and run away, but the benefit comes in bringing the mind back. Not in keeping it there all the time. It's in the bringing it back. And what's interesting is that after you're done with it, after you've done your meditation, this will continue. There's a halo effect to this that will stay with you for a very, very long period of time. So Zazen is just simply sitting Zen. It's just being in a place. I bring all this up because you're never, rarely, where you are. Your mind is in the past. Your mind is in the future. Have you seen that sign that says, I've gone out to look for me? If you happen to see me while I'm out, please tell me to wait here and I'll be back. Our minds are like that. They're just like that. And the peace comes when you begin to just be present. I've tried all kinds of meditation because I love to experiment with different kinds. And breathing meditation, as you know, we've talked about that a lot and about how that relaxes you, calms you, and centers you. The interesting thing about mindfulness meditation, when you are just being present to what is without comment or judgment, when you are sitting there and just looking around, not letting your eyes fixate on any one thing, just being there. The interesting thing is, I have noticed that you can try and train your breath to be relaxed and you'll feel relaxed. Or you can look around and do Zazen. And if you're doing it properly, you'll notice your breathing naturally becomes much deeper and much slower. Much deeper and much slower, which relaxes you. So friends, we are facing stress like never before. And the best thing we can do is make sure that we discharge our own stress. And one of the best ways to do that is just take a few minutes, put your phone off, turn everything off, and sit quietly. And by a few minutes, I set a timer for 20. But start with 5, start with 10. And it's not, you're not going to do it well. Trust me, your mind's going to be everywhere. My mind is everywhere. But what I always say to myself is, and we're back. As soon as I come back to just this present moment, I go, and we're back. It's just a reminder to just be present to what is, not think how it got there or to wish it were different. I want to invite you today, take it just a few minutes to practice Zazen, just to sit and to be and to observe. just observe. I noticed that because I love movies so much, and I've always found escape in movies, that when you go to movies, often when those first scenes come up, you feel this feeling of being in a completely different world. And it's because the camera is showing you something. And in many cases, it's just B-roll or background or something that's setting something up. And so you don't have an emotional attachment to it. So you feel neutral and you just observe. Try sitting there and imagining, that's what I do. I imagine that I've got the phone on my camera and that I'm using it to look at the world. I'm not, I'm using my eyes. But I imagine that I'm just, and you can do this anywhere. I did it on the plane yesterday. You can do it anywhere. So practice that, give it a try, and you'll be surprised at how much less stress you have. And the less stress you have, the less you'll bounce stress off other people, et cetera, et cetera. And we close that loop of death that is stress.
No more, no more complaining people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people, their lives are changing. We're flying high.